In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to start looking now at the prelude to the Passion. Some commentators have said about the Synoptic Gospels that they are a Passion narrative with an introduction. This is the important part. And so, our Lord made many trips to Jerusalem as a devout Jew, three times a year at least, probably. But the Synoptic Gospels structure their whole gospel, all of them. Mark was probably the first, and he set the pattern. Our Lord is up in Galilee, and he comes south one time into Jerusalem. And that's a literary device, because historically he probably went many times. But this is the trip to death and resurrection. And then, especially in Mark, I'll see you again in Galilee, back up at the north. And so he starts then. And this is the one trip in the Synoptic Gospels. And so and when they drew near to Jerusalem, in Bethphage and Bethany, close to the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. That means, here's the Mount of Olives, and he probably went in back of it, like that, over to Bethphage and Bethany. And now, he's going to send his disciples to get ready, and they're going to come back over the hill and come down the Mount of Olives, over on the south side, into this procession, which is a declaration as well. And so, and when they drew near to Jerusalem, and Bethphage and Bethany, which are over here, and the Mount of Olives is here, and Jerusalem is here. Okay? Close to the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, go to the village opposite you, and immediately upon entering it, you will come upon a colt tied up. Now, which village that was, we don't know. Probably Bethany. Upon which no one has ever yet sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone should say to you, why are you doing this? Untying somebody's donkey and taking it away. You say, the Lord has need of it, and he will immediately send it back here again. So we need it for now, and then he'll send it back to you. Well, this is Jesus, and they know who Jesus is. And so they allowed them to take the donkey. They brought the donkey to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks over it, and he sat on it. There's an early Christian gloss. Sometimes, you know, they didn't have printing presses, so you have a manuscript, and sometimes the scribes would write little remarks in it. That's called a gloss. So here there's a gloss where it says, and he began to reign. Which is what happens. He sits on this donkey and enters Jerusalem as its king. So, but there's these two levels all the time, especially now when we get so close to the crisis. And so they brought the donkey to Jesus and they threw their cloaks over it and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks out on the way. And now he's going to be coming, see? He'll be coming down the mountain of the Mount of Olives over on the south side and go through the gate over there. When you live in Jerusalem on this day, Palm Sunday, you do all this. You get your palms and you walk on this very road. And those who went ahead and those who followed were calling out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now that's from the psalm, but it's a psalm that has overtones of entrance into Jerusalem, the Lord entering, the Messiah entering. And so it's very powerful, these allusions that the crowd is hollering out here. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Baruch atah b'shem Adonai. It's from Psalm 118, which is a triumph psalm and a paschal psalm. Then there is a line, "Blessed is the coming of our father David." That line is in Mark, but it's not in the other two. Because this is the kingdom of David, the kingship of David, reaching its apotheosis. "I will put one on from your body on your throne, and he will live and reign forever." Here he is. But between that and where they are and that enthronement comes conflict, suffering, death, and finally resurrection. And that's the passion narrative, and that's where we are as we do this work today, and we'll continue it. And so he went into the temple and looked around at everything. But since the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So our Lord came in and entered that gate, which is close to the temple, and goes over to the temple, and everything was closed. And since the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now, when the gospel writers are writing this for us, they are making allusions to so many places in the Old Testament and in the Jewish tradition to try to help us. For instance, and this one is well known, in Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed, humble, endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey." That's Zechariah 9:9. That was one of the, "When your Messiah comes, this is the way he will come." And so those whose hearts are open see it. Here he comes. Now between there and his enthronement lies all the suffering of the Passion, the gift of the Eucharist, and all the rest, which we'll see as time goes on. Now, for instance, in the book of Maccabees, we read about Judas Maccabeus entering into the city on the 23rd day of the second month of the 171st year, with thanksgiving and branches of palm trees, with harps and cymbals, with vials and hymns and songs, because there was destroyed a great enemy out of Israel. This is the celebration of the victory and the beginning of the rededication of the temple, which is a solemn feast day now for the Jews. Now that I'm just putting in there, it's not in our text, but that's where the allusion is coming from, and the prophecy. "And Jesus went into Jerusalem, into the temple, and looked around at everything. But since the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany. He retraced his steps, went back over the hill, and turned south, and went down the hill into Bethany." Right there is the historical memory the house of Lazarus. On the left, a little bit over, is a Franciscan monastery now with a graveyard. And in that graveyard, there is the kind of tomb, this isn't the one Jesus was in, but, you know, it's hollowed out of the rock, and there's a big hole in the cave. And then when the body is put in, a big round, like millstone, is rolled. So that's on this side, and the rest of Bethany attractions are on the other side. So now, since it's already late, you see, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And that's the way this whole thing. That, for us, is Palm Sunday. We do this on that Sunday before Easter Sunday. And we have palms, and we sing, and we try to enter in by faith, touch, because the Holy Spirit is there to make the connection. That event in the life of our Lord, and that event in our own life now. And that's the meaning of Palm Sunday. We carry palms, we sing, you know, the children cried out, Hosanna, and so forth. We sing, and we escort our Lord. We're trying to make reparation for that superficial enthusiasm. Everybody excited on this day, and a week later, they act like they don't know him. So they were going, and he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree at a distance bearing leaves, he went to see if he could find something on it. And coming up to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. This is baffling. But it's a symbol. This tree should be bearing fruit, never mind the season. And it's got only leaves. This is any empty religion. It was for many of the Jews of our Lord's day, not all. Empty religion. It's all leaves, there's no fruit. And so, what does our Lord do? He says, may no one eat fruit from you anymore. And he curses that tree. And the disciples were listening. Now, as they came to Jerusalem, he entered the temple. And now, this is the next day. This is not that first day of Palm Sunday, if you will. This is the next day. And the next day, he began to drive out those who were selling and buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those selling doves. And he did not allow anyone to carry a vessel through the temple. This is all business. This is my Father's house. And he was teaching and saying to them, does it not stand written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for the nations? That's Isaiah 56. But you have made it a den of brigands, and that's Jeremiah 7. The high priest heard as well as the scribes, and they sought how they might to destroy him. Now he's gone too far. Now he's challenging us in our own territory and finding fault with us because we're making money at Passover. And he said, make it as a marketplace. But we'll stop there and then pick up.